And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go, another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray and rock god Rick Mexa.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, coming your way right here on the mighty 1090. We're talking all kinds of hookup. Again, Pete Gray not joining us this morning. He's out on the East Coast with Lolly, getting a little relax and rest in before he hits the fishing scene again hard here next week. But, man, are we having a great time today. Jim Salazar, our expert lobster fisherman from Promar and Hobie Kayaks, CCA. Well, you're a guy that wears a lot of hats, Jim. You know, you're one of the guys that as soon as you retire, you're twice as busy as you were when you were working.
Yes, I'm a very busy guy. That CCA stuff really keeps me busy, but it's so fulfilling, I'll tell you.
Well, we sure appreciate it, and I know we mentioned a little bit, but I want to just take another quick sec to thank you very much on behalf of anglers. I myself, as everybody out there, owe you a big thanks for all the work you do on our behalf, most of it for little more than just a thanks, Jim. So we definitely appreciate it, man. It's always good knowing that we got a guy out there that's got our back.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
The CCA is a great organization, and I'm really proud of being part of it since before its inception, and getting to work with people like, you know, Dave Pfeiffer and Bill Shedd and some of the top people in the industry who are also some of the top conservationists in our industry, too.
No doubt, buddy. Well, we appreciate that, and we appreciate you listening this morning. If you want to join us, it's been a busy morning, but a great opportunity. We're going to be taking a lot of your phone calls here in the second hour, and the lines were packed going into the break, but we had a call drop off, so a great time to get through. 858 area code 457-1090. That's our local number. Again, 858-457-1090, or you can try us toll-free, and our toll-free line is 877-792-1090. One more time, 877-792-1090. Your opportunity to talk to the man, Jim Salazar, talking lobster, talking fishing, talking fun today, and we are giving away a couple of great prizes. And thank you again so much to the guys at Promar. Two of those great home Promar accessory kits for your lobster fishing. They're going to include the LED light sticks,
the Pro Grip gloves.
Those gloves are killer.
Lobster gauge, which is also a combo crab gauge, 6-foot roll of reflective tape, and a sea lion proof bait tube.
Again, $80 value, and we're giving away two of them at the end of the show. So not only going to get a chance to the lobster guru, you're going to get a chance to win some great lobster gear. Again, 858-457-1090 or 877-792-1090. We're going to jump right into the phones right now and talk to Bob. He's calling us from Simi Valley this morning. Good morning, Bob. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, Jim and Ricky. You know, we were going to had out last night at Channel Islands, but the wind came up, so we had to cancel. But I was wondering if you might be able to give us any tips for lobstering at the islands, number one. And number two, I kind of read the regs the same way, where it seems like you should be able to put in a detachable tag onto your floats with whoever's number, go number, happens to be on that particular trap. I was going to ask you about where you guys use the glow sticks. Where would you place those and for what purpose? And then only other question I had was, could you compare and contrast the metal cages compared to the plastic bait cages?
Great question.
Okay, well, we'll start with the metal cages, Bob. First off, you're up in Simi, so you're up probably doing Channel Islands Harbor a lot, or do you get to the islands mostly?
Well, we were hoping to do it out at the islands, but yeah.
Well, first thing on the islands is know where the MPAs are. Know where all the closed areas are. There's a bunch of them over there at the Channel Islands. And know where those areas are, and then set up right alongside the edge of them, because that's where some big bugs are. let's see. Glow sticks. You asked about glow sticks. The way I use my glow sticks on my gear, I've seen all kinds of different methods used. A lot of them, probably the most common thing is to get a milk jug, a frosted milk jug, open it up, put that light stick inside it, and now it kind of glows. But I like to get that light stick up higher. So what I do is I drill a hole on the top of my float. I pass my rope through it. I put a weight on the end of the rope so that the excess rope goes straight up and down. And then I add a keel to the bottom of my float. So someplace on the bottom of the float, usually on the flat backside, I'll drill a couple of holes and add some lag bolts or rebar or lead shot, so that no matter how much weight I put up on top of that LED light stick, that float is always going to right itself, and it's always going to have that light stick sticking straight up and down.
It looks like a little sailboat.
Yeah. Does that work for you?
Yeah, outstanding.
I'll tell you, Bob, I know all of this is addressed in that book that Jim put out, and that's it's exactly, you know, I mean, I got that from Jim. I don't think that there's a better way. I don't think there's a better way to go about it. You know, I mean, I all of my floats are exactly the same way, keeled at the bottom. I just take a big drill bit and I drill it right through the flat side, you know, towards the pointy end, shove like a 4 or 6 ounce torpedo sinker in there, and then I drill two holes in the top of mine, one which is the size for the LED, for my LED light. And then if I forgot my light or if I run out of batteries, I keep some backup.
A smaller, you know, hole for the chem light stick?
Exactly, yeah. So two holes, one for the chem light and one for the LED. LED is killer because they're brighter and they're easier to see. And then if we are really being techie about it, we will we'll like alternate, because the Promar lights, you can either have them flashing.
Yeah, I was going to mention
or
that.
Or you can have them steady. Well, go ahead, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, one of the tips with the lights, the LED Promar lights, is they flash or they have a solid mode. So what I like to do is I'll set my gear the first time I set it with one mode.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I come back and I start to pick up my gear, I'll reset it to the flashing mode, because I can't tell you how many times I've had somebody who's guide me back into the same float that we just picked up.
Totally.
And it's empty, and we're going, this one's empty. Well, naturally it's empty. You picked it up 2 minutes ago.
I like that. And we do, like, so for our 10 nets, we put we fish with 8 blue lights and 2 white lights. And we try to put a white light at the northern
end
of our string and then the southern end of our string. Because same deal, you know, sometimes it's choppy or something, pull something down. You're trying to convince, you're like, okay, well, we've been through 7. Wait a minute, you know, we're at the white light. We missed one in between there somewhere, and it gives you a shot to go back and...
Yeah, that's a great way to use the lights. It's also on the different colors, too. Now, Bob, you had one other question.
What about the bait cages?
The bait cages, yes. Brandon went over that yesterday, and I went over it earlier in the show. I prefer to use a bait cage when I can. Now, the sea lions down here especially, up there you might have a better chance with them, but if you get sea lions on you, make sure you have some of those sea lion proof bait tubes with you, because although the lobsters and crabs prefer to eat from the bait cage, sometimes those sea lions will get so intensive and so aggressive that you need to put down bait tubes. Either way, whichever one you're using, stuff it as full as you can. Literally use a stick to jam that bait inside there so it's pushing out the sides of the bait tube so they can get to that bait.
In a perfect world, is it better to use a smaller bait-holding, you know, area to have it blown out the sides, or a bigger area with less, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. For years, Promar had that 1 pound, that big bait cage.
Yeah.
It takes about a pound to fill it. And for years, I talked about cutting it with a pair of side cutters, rebending the hinges on it, and putting zip ties on it, and locking it down half size. That way, you could make two of them and have two amounts of bait for the same amount of bait that you would use for the big one. You get a bonus out of that. The big bonus is that it doesn't really take that much bait in the water to attract the lobsters and crabs. But when it starts to look washed out and it's nothing but bones and eye sockets, then you can just pop that thing off with the bait cage clips, put another one on there, and now you're ready, good to go, or just even add another one on sometimes.
That's cool. The bait cage clips is something we haven't talked about, too, that kind of relates to the bait tube or bait cage. Maybe you could go over what that is.
Well, normally when you attach your bait cage to your bait ring on the bottom of your Promar net, you're going to have zip ties. And you're going to have to cut the zip ties off to put a new one on, and you're going to have the trash of the zip ties. So if you're using bait cage clips or nylon clips that clip onto your bait ring on the bottom of your net, but they also have a low-grade stainless, like a key ring on there that you can attach,
ring.
A split ring, exactly, that you can attach onto your bait cage or onto your bait tubes, and it makes it really easy to change it out, and you don't have all that waste, too.
That's cool. You have another question there, Bob?
The plastic bait tubes. Yeah, the plastic bait tubes, they're strong enough and the circumference of them is so large that the sea lions can't crunch down on them. Is that the idea?
Yeah, you could actually stand on those things and you couldn't crush them. Well, not with my 160 anyway.
I'll tell you, Bob,
okay.
I hate to say it, but San Diego can be some of the most just sea lion infested areas, and they those things work, man. If there is something that is even the teeniest bit not sea lion proof, they will get through it, and those things, they stand up, man. It is a very, very good alternative when you just can't get around the stupid seals.
They're all escapees from Mission Bay at SeaWorld. Go ahead.
The sea lions don't go after the bugs?
No, you know what? I do a lot of GoPro R&D camera work, and when the sea lions come in and attack your bait, the lobsters on a conical net will retreat back into the relative safety of the corner of the net. And once that sea lion's gone, they'll come back out and start eating again. And I've never, ever in all the GoPro work I've done ever seen a sea lion grab a lobster out of the cage. Are out of the net. They're always grabbing the bait cages is what they're trying to do.
Really? Okay. I always figured that they probably weren't eating the lobsters, but I just, kind of like what Brandon mentioned yesterday, I just can't imagine lobsters are too hip to wanting to crawl up the walls of your conical net when there's some 600-pound seal sticking his head in there trying to thrash your bait out of it.
Exactly.
Well, Bob, good luck with the lobster, and that answer your questions for you?
Yeah, thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
All right, buddy.
Thanks
appreciate that
Bob.
Very much. Hey, let's go to another guy that I know likes getting his lobster on, and that's Scott Sherman from Snap Insurance. What's up, Scott?
Hey, down at the boat, guys, getting ready for some hooping, and just had a quick question on the GoID number. It sounds like you can only put your license number or your GoID number on 5, and you have to be able to swap out whoever's fishing with you that day. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, so you probably have 10 nets on your Parker, and what
yep.
you'll do is you'll put your Go ID number on 5 of those, and then on the other 5, you can do any number of methods. You could either write it right onto the float, you could use a luggage tag, you could use any of these other methods that Rick and I have been talking about this morning.
So there's not, but there is definitely not a problem having multiple Go ID numbers on one float.
No, and I think you're going to end up with a whole yeah. bunch of them on that, on your guest float all the yeah. time. You're going to end up with a whole bunch of numbers on there.
Yeah, well, I've got like 3 or 4 buddies who are my pretty regular guys, and I was thinking, well, changing out numbers all the time, we may just write all 4 on there, and whoever's fishing that day, pick the number, you know.
Exactly.
That's not a bad call, Scott.
You might even add somebody's initials to the end of it. Just so it's easier for the warden to pick it out.
Scott, I know you shot us a text of your buddy that had a great dive, and Jim was talking about some, you know, some good fishing, but maybe some slower fishing up north. What's the word from your lobster crew down San Diego way?
Well, I heard last night Mission Bay was absolutely packed. The harbor was fairly packed too, and had a buddy who was out with 2 guys hooping. They had 17 for the night.
Nice.
Not bad.
Sounds like some good fishing.
But 3 guys, sorry.
yeah.
Well, I figured they tossed a couple back.
Yeah, well, wait a minute.
Well,
yeah, no, they had 17 on the boat last night, so it sounds like it's starting out okay.
Sounds like a good barbecue to me.
Yeah, I tell you, all the knowledge you've been giving out this morning makes me feel better about what I've been doing, because just about every time somebody asks a question, it's almost exactly how we do it.
Well, as I remember, you've had some pretty good scores in the past.
And we're after 10 years on the kayak hooping for these things, I finally started to figure out a little bit. But I tell you, that keel on the bottom of the float, I just, you know, just get a long drill bit, drill a hole all the way down, and shove about a 8-inch section of rebar down inside there, and that light stays on top all the time.
That's probably the best thing. That and just the sinker to the tag end are probably the 2 best things, Jim, that I think I've picked up from you along the way that just makes life so much easier.
Yeah, because, you know, with those milk, you do the milk cart things, which glow nice and they show up from a good distance, but you're always getting that messed up with your regular buoy and everything else. It's just so much easier when you're done, you know, take the light out of the hole and wrap everything up and you're good. When you set it, you drop it down, you shove the light in the hole and drop it, and it always rights itself. It's the perfect way to go.
Keep it as simple as you can. Although I'll tell you, if you line up 20 boats at the launch, you're going to get 20 different ways of rigging. So
no doubt.
The whole idea is just to keep that rope out of your prop.
Yeah, amen.
Sherm, appreciate the phone call, buddy. Good luck tonight. Hope you rope the lobsters.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'll let you know.
All right, Scott. Bye-bye. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Let's jump right back into the phones again. If you want to get your shot, 858 area code 457-1090 or toll-free 877-792-1090. Let's talk to Charles calling us from San Diego this morning. Hey, Charles, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? Can you... do hoop netting from the shore, like at the jetties and stuff.
It's really tough from the shore. From a pier, you can do it because you're dropping straight down. But from shore, you've got to toss that net out there to get it away from the rocks and deep enough for the lobsters to get in, you know, into it. And then when you go to pull it back, your chances of getting it hung up on a rock are really high.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why either from a pier or some kind of a floating vessel, although from what I heard last night, just about anything that could float was out on the water last night.
So just jump in an inner tube and...
I've never seen it yet. I've seen people do crawdads from a float tube, but I've never seen anybody hoop net from a float tube. Kayaks, inflatables... stand-up paddle boards, surfboards. I've seen all kinds of boats out there.
Anything to get you out there.
Yep.
Yeah.
How far out?
It depends. This year, we're hoping they're going to be shallow, and it sounds like they may be this year at the start of the season. So you can go any... I'll put it this way. My diver buddies have talked to me about going out and diving with all their gear. They got about 10 or 15 feet out into the water, turned around, brought all the gear back in, went back out with their snorkel in 5 or 6 feet of water and cleaned up.
No kidding.
So, really? Yeah, so you never know where they are. If they're in shallow, they can be real shallow.
I
might just try the snorkeling thing.
It works.
Charles, go get them. Good luck, buddy. Appreciate the phone call.
All right, thanks, man.
You got it, man. Take care. How about next up, we talk to Bruce. Bruce is calling us from Simi Valley this morning. Hi, Bruce. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Bruce?
Yeah, another Simi Valley guy.
Yeah, representing.
Yeah. I don't know how I missed you up here, Jim. You say you were up at China Islands Harbor last week.
Yeah, I was up at...
I didn't see that anywhere. So, are you coming back up?
Yes, I am. Actually, I'll be back up there on the 19th at Channel Islands Yacht Club for an open meeting of the CCA, and I'll be their featured speaker that evening.
Nice.
That's the 6 p.m. at Channel Islands Yacht Club on the 19th.
Will you be doing a lobster thing?
Yes, I'll be doing a seminar on lobster, and I'll probably bring my PowerPoint up there with me.
Oh, great, great. Hey, listen, I have a couple questions, or one question and then one. Two questions. Anyway, do you think it matters at all if when you're gathering your line and getting ready to pull, if the lobsters feel some tugging before you actually start to pull?
Yes, I've always told people that. When you come up to your net, your float, you pull your float into the boat or the kayak, whatever vessel you're in, and then you gently pull on the line to see how much angle there is, because especially with the flat style nets, you want to get directly over the top of them when you pull them. And even with the conical style nets, you're better off pulling in a vertical position. So
yeah.
When you make that move and you tighten up that line, you don't want to telegraph to the lobsters and crabs that you're about to pull them up. So you just gently as you can pull that line with a little tension to see what the angle is before you move up or back up a little bit to get it straight up and down.
Okay, all right. And the question, you think Fish and Game might object to this? I took some of the bait tubes. Actually, I made bait tubes. And then I drilled some holes and I put stainless steel screws pointing outwards to kind of so that if the seals would come in and take a bite, they kind of get poked and might lose interest.
A little deterrent.
Before the guys started making all their PVC tubes and they got really popular, you should have seen the methods that were out there. There were guys who were using barbed wire. There were guys who were taking chicken wire and cutting it so that it had little things poking up. Yeah, there was all kinds of methods tried out there. You can deter them all you want. You can't harm them, but you can deter them.
Yes.
So
I'd like to deter them with a Forstner of some kind. Just a gentle.
I like deterring them with a paint gun.
Yeah, exactly. Not an animal in the world I dislike more than those things.
Bruce, okay, thank you very much.
Appreciate
right, Bruce,
the phone call
you.
Very much, buddy. Thanks a lot for that. Hey, with that, we're going to find out what's going on the water. We got the man, Captain Ryan Boschian of the San Diego, on the line right now. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, morning, Rick. How you doing this morning?
We're doing great, man. We're talking lobsters. We're talking fishing. Having a good time this morning. What's going on in the San Diego?
Well, we just passed the lobster mafia in the channel on the way out this morning on our way to the tuna ground. The hoop netters were out in force.
I believe that.
That time of year. But this local yellowfin, it's still going strong here. We've been fishing offshore for the last month, 20 to 45 miles from Mission Bay, and it's been real hit or miss fishing, but if you get on the right school, you can catch a bunch of them in a hurry. Yesterday we had 117 yellowfin. The day before that we had 115. We missed the day before that and only caught five or six. It's that style of fishing, which I'm sure you guys have heard of, where it only takes one stop to make your day. It's kind of like being in a home run hitting contest. You're either going to strike out or you're going to knock one out of the park. And we're headed out here today in beautiful weather, a nice load of passengers, beautiful load of bait. There's still some excellent, excellent fishing going on right now. And the reservations for everybody are extremely light next week. So if you're looking to get on a boat with possibly not very crowded and catch some yellowfin tuna, the opportunity is still here.
No doubt. You know, we talked about it yesterday, Boog, how crazy good that fishing was. We were giving away a trip to go fishing with you yesterday on the show, and it's just crazy how good and how consistent that things have been. Like you say, I know there's always opportunities to strike out, but, you know, I remember years and years ago fishing with Bobby Williams on the Mission Bell when there was 9 yellowfin tuna caught on a 3-quarter-day trip, and the boat was sold out for a week at a time for an opportunity to see one. And now you bring that San Diego in with 100 tuna just day after day after day. It's incredible the fishing that's going on that's so close to home and an opportunity to get in on good yellowfin fishing, sleeping in your own bed at night.
And overnight numbers on your boat, man. It's incredible.
It really is incredible the type of fishing that we've all gotten used to. You know, we'll come out here and catch 50, 60 yellowfin, and it feels like we didn't catch anything sometimes.
Yeah.
We're all kind of spoiled. We're trying to not get like that, but the fishing's been so good the last 3 years that it's just kind of happened to all of us. Yesterday, late in the day, we got a look at those giant bluefin that you like to fish for, Rick. After we caught our yellowfin, we started looking at some new water to see what was around, and we ran into some great big bluefin. We never caught one. We made a couple stops on them. We weren't prepared for them. So those things are still around real close here as well, but we're mainly targeting the yellowfin. I've already heard of some good stops here this morning, so we're hoping we can get a piece of it. All it takes is one stop. So you guys should come out and see us. We're online every single day. If you'd like to make a reservation, call Seaforth Sport Fishing at 619-224-3383, or you can check the boat's website, www.thesandiego.com. We'll let you know how today goes. We do fish reports every single day. Come out and see us.
Great job, Boog. We appreciate you keeping us up to date. Glad to hear the fishing's going so strong, and couldn't agree more, man. What a great opportunity with the crowd starting to lessen. It's a great opportunity to go fishing aboard the San Diego and get in on this awesome season of yellowfin fishing. Ryan, we appreciate the phone call. Good luck with the rest of the day.
Thank you, Rick.
All right, appreciate that very much. We'll look forward to seeing the website tonight on how you guys finish up. Appreciate it very much. Hey, with that, it's time to find out what's going on up and down the coast. We've got our fishdope.com report coming your way, which today is sponsored by Gamakatsu Hooks. The Gamakatsu live bait hooks drive the point home. Gamakatsu features the absolute perfect bend and ideal barbs that allow your baits to swim harder and longer, and when they do fall victim to the intended predator, Gamakatsu hooks bite back with a vengeance. All hooks are not the same. Go with Gamakatsu for infinite success. We got the man, your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen, our fishdope.com reporter on the line. What's up, Dave?
Hey, good morning, Rick. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Dave. Here comes the real entertainment on the show.
Here we go, guys. Lobster season started last night. I mean, I know it started at 6 o'clock yesterday morning, but really, that's just so nobody gets hurt at midnight anymore. That's the reason why they changed that. There's just too many knuckleheads going out at midnight, had too many cocktails. And so this is a way to change it up a little bit. Start the season at 6 o'clock in the morning, let everybody get caught up and get out there at sunset like you normally do and go lobster fishing.
Yeah.
So
thank you for that, Dave.
That's the main reason why they changed that time zone, guys. That's the only reason. So just relax. Everything's cool.
It's a six-month season.
Okay. Huh?
It's a six-month-long season if we got a couple less hours, not the end of the world.
No, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to give out a huge secret right now. The end is the best. The end is the best. That's why I'm at home right now, because the end is the best. But that's okay. You all get out there and burn yourselves out, and I'll see you at the end.
There you go.
But here we go. Guys, like Ryan was just saying, like Ricky's been saying, do not put your fishing poles away.
Oh, my God, no.
do not put your fishing poles away. I want you guys, when we're talking here, I want you to go on a website called fishdope.com and go on there and look at their charts and look at that water. We have 71 degree water above San Clemente Island, and it stretches all the way down to Ensenada. And the water's purple all over the place, and there's all kinds of weird stuff going on. Look at that video on the internet about that black or blue. Pete Grosek says it's a black marlin. Other people say it's a blue. I'm going to go with what Pete said. Down there at the Coronados, there's all kinds of weird stuff going on, guys. It's not even close to being over. That giant bluefin is back on the backside of San Clemente Island, and it's biting. The yummies again, it's back, and it's biting. 8 to 12 miles outside the island, so it's outside that zone that you're not supposed to fly the kite in, so you're safe there. Big giant yellowtail at both islands, Catalina, San Clemente Island. They had a really good bite at the beginning of the week on the Farnsworth. Kind of blew that thing up. A million boats went out there, and now it's kind of hard. But that's what I'm notorious for, is blowing stuff up. But you know what? Nothing makes us happier, Rick, than when your tackle shop is full of people buying tackle, and the fuel dock is full of people buying fuel, and when you go around the corner at Catalina and there's a million boats, because that's the only way this industry is going to survive, is if we let people know that there's actually fish in the ocean.
Hey, guys.
I'm sorry. I'm going to keep blowing it up because I'm going to keep driving this thing that everybody has to fish. And that yellowfin tuna stretches all over the place. There's giant schools at Clemente. There's giant schools on the 181, the 182. And then there's giant schools all the way down the coast where Ryan's fishing on the San Diego. You got to go out there and you got to go fishing. You got to go look around.
Yeah.
You got to go pay attention.
We say it the same thing. I mean, it seems to happen every year. If we had the caliber of fishing that we have right now in June, it would just be the most insane freak-out session ever. I mean, think about all the things that you just talked about. Big yellows at the islands, giant, I mean, lifetime trophy-sized bluefins at San Clemente Island. There's for the last couple of days, they've had 120 yellowfin on the three-quarter day out of Seaforth. I mean, there is crazy fishing happening right now.
Right, and people aren't going fishing. I don't understand. What are you waiting for now? Like Ryan was just saying, perfect opportunity. You're going to get to go on a light load on the San Diego.
Yeah. When does that happen?
Yeah,
right.
That's awesome. Well, certainly some really good opportunities right now, Dave. We talk about it week after week, but, man, it is just it's the truth. There is not a better source for keeping in touch with the fishing that's going on right now than fishdope.com. And you don't need to be a hardcore private boater to have an account with Fishdope. You literally, you know, if you're a guy that likes to ride the sport boats, you like to see the trends, see when things are biting, see when things are going on the upswing so that you jump on the boat before the crowds find out about it. Fishdope.com has great information on obviously the catch reports, but also on weather, all the great information. They get info from guys like you that are fishing every day that keep Danny up to date. There's not a better source of getting info than Fishdope, and you can save $20 on a new membership to Fishdope by using the code HOOKUPNOW. Again, HOOKUPNOW, all lowercase, no space at checkout, going to save you $20, and there's just not a better way to stay informed of what's going on the water than Fishdope.
Exactly, and then those of you that like to listen to me, I'm on there every day giving live reports.
No shortage of Dave Hansen, for sure. Well,
I'm everywhere.
Dave, there's some very, very good fishing to be had. I know that you're super busy, but if a guy wants to come fishing with you in the big boat, if he wants you to go fishing on his boat, is there a way to, you know, in this fall as we're coming into this great fishing, to hook up with you and go do some fishing?
Absolutely, guys. Here we are, like Ryan was saying, Ricky's been saying, everything slows down October. And I know it's weird, but this is October 1st right now. And everything's slowing down. People are, I don't know what they're doing, but I guess they're getting ready for Christmas. But now's the time to book a trip on the big boat.
No doubt.
Come with me on the big boat. Come out, see how we fly the kite. You guys, even if you have your own private boat, this is a nice way to come out. Watch how we put the kite together. Watch how we fly it. See what we're doing so you can take it out on your boat and do the same thing. Or if you don't want to do any of that, give me a call, 949-374-0786. Me or Mike or one of my other guys will be more than happy to come with you on your boat and show you how we do everything that we do and go out there and try to catch some fish for you on your boat.
If you've been looking at Fish Dope and seeing all these giant tunas, you're just crazy this year to not get four or five of your buds together, throw some money together, get that big, giant, beautiful boat, and go out to San Clemente and have Dave put you on a 200-pounder. Don't let this season go by without taking a shot at one of those giant ones. Who knows? I mean, I'm subscribing to the fact that we're going to get to do this for a couple of years, but, man, the rule book has been absolutely thrown away. We have no idea when these things are going to be gone, and don't let this season go by without having a shot at catching one of these trophies of a lifetime, because it's something we'll talk about forever.
Right, and that's what I tell all my clients. Today could be the last day.
That's it.
I don't know. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Today could be the very last day, but how unfortunate would it be if you're sitting there thinking, gosh, I should have gone, and you didn't go, and it's over.
That's it, buddy. Well, again, one more time, shoot us the phone number if somebody wants to go fishing with you, Dave.
949-374-0786. And right. Give me a call. Check out my website, yoursaltwaterguide.com, and I'll talk to you guys next Sunday.
Great job, Dave. Right, Dave. We appreciate it. Keep on them.
Thanks all you do for Promar, Dave.
You got it, Jimmy. See you, bud.
All right. Appreciate that very much. Again, that's going to wrap up our FishDope.com report, sponsored by Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Fisherman's Processing is San Diego's finest, and that's why they're known as the Fish Pros. And once you try them, you'll be hooked. They'll fillet and vacuum pack your fish to your specs, as well as offer the best in smoked fish, jerky, and their famous tuna burger. Check Fisherman's Processing for more. Check FishermansProcessing.com for more details, or you can see them when your trip returns to the San Diego landings. Phones are packed up. We do have our toll-free line available if you want to get through. That's 877-792-1090. Our local line's totally full right now, but we do have room, 877-792-1090. Let's jump back into the phones and talk to Mike, who's calling us from Chula Vista this morning. Mike, good morning. Thanks for hanging in there with us.
Hey, Ricky, how you doing, buddy? I've been up north for 3 years, man. I've missed you guys big time.
Well, we're glad to have you back, Mike.
Oh, God, I'll tell you what. You don't want to go up there, because down here you have people that are fighting for you for your rights as a fisherman. Up there, they just destroyed that fishery up there. I was up in Port Angeles, Washington, and they have so many regulations. I mean, you can't even drift fish for more than a half a mile on one area that you have to have. You can have barbs on your hooks. The next half a mile is barbless. I mean, it's so ridiculous. Halibut fishing, 3 days a year. And they call. They'll tell the Indians, and they'll tell a commercial fisherman where they're going to open up. For 2 weeks, they go in there, commercial fish that area. Then they open it up to the sport fishermen.
Wow, that's how
bad that it's gotten up in that area
for 3 days,
For 3 lousy days.
Well, that's why we're so fortunate to have guys like Jim on behalf of CCA. And I mean, that's exactly that story right there is the reason why we stress it's so important to be a part of CCA and be a part of the guys that are making sure that doesn't happen in our backyard.
I know it. I'll tell you what, I learned a lot when I was away from this place. Southern California, and you guys especially, Let's Talk Hookup Group, have kept people informed. Up there, they don't keep people informed about nothing. And they'll sit out there, and they'll watch you very closely. I mean, you go fishing, they've got eyes on you. They must have half the people up there are fishermen,
gotcha. Well,
ridiculous.
We appreciate it, Mike. Good words. You got a question for Jim?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
I've been gone, like you say, 3 years. Have they changed any requirements as far as the height on the Chronicle nets? I know before there was a 12-inch height limit or something like that.
You know, Mike, I really can't say off the top of my head what exactly the red rigs what exactly the regulations read. But if you go to the DFW website or you get one of the saltwater pamphlets, they literally have the dimensions of the flat nets and the dimensions of the conical style. The maximum opening on the top, the minimum opening on the top, the maximum dimension, the maximum height that it can be. It has all those dimensions that are written down in the regs.
But anything that was produced by Promar before, now, during, everything that Promar makes is a perfectly legal net. And that new Ambush XL is built to the letter of the law, the biggest hoop net that's allowed.
Yes, both the Ambush XL and the Eclipse net are both built to those maximum standards.
Now, is an Eclipse still available?
Yes, the Eclipse is still available. It's not selling quite as well because of that Ambush net. It's gotten so popular. But there's still a lot of guys who like to have the collapsible style
of
net.
Portability that the Eclipse offers.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys who like to go to the island, collapse them down, put them up on top of the T-top or something, or up front. There's people who travel with them that like them to collapse. So.
See, that's what I thought at first. I thought, well, the Eclipse is the killer one, because, but that ambush, they just stack on top of each other so nice. For me, that's the only way to go.
They stack so neatly. I agree.
I always thought that, well, I'm definitely going to want the collapsibleness that the Eclipse provided. But, and not that it's not a bad net. It's a great net, and they fish really, really good. I just can't wait for that Ambush XL. Because my mind thought that, well, I thought the Eclipse in a perfect scenario probably fished a little better, but I liked the ease of the Ambush because I liked how big that Eclipse net was. Now that we've got the Ambush, it's the same size Eclipse, game over. It's on.
Well, you'll have three of them in your trunk. It's just up to you and Pete whether you
I will definitely have three in my trunk. I don't know what Pete's going to do about it. Hey, Mike, appreciate the phone call very much, buddy. Thanks a lot for that. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. We're going to be taking more of your phone calls, more catch reports, more great information with Jim from Promar. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Hey, everybody. This is Captain Dwayne Diego, 4-pack charter captain, here to talk to you about Parker Boats and the good folks at West Coast Marine. When it came time to start Pinnacle Sport Fishing and get my own boat, there was only one choice. I wanted a Parker. Then there's a real good reason for it. The fishability and seaworthiness. I've been fishing on Parkers for years now, and I know the abuse they can take. Parker Marine builds a heavy-duty, industrial-strength boat. Probably overbuilt, but that's what I need when we're out 12 hours a day, over 300 days a year, running charters. The guys at West Coast Marine built me one heck of a fishing boat. From the custom tower with steering and throttle controls to the backup bait pump system, my Parker 2520 XLD will deliver me to the fishing grounds reliably and safe. Take it from me. If you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, honest deal, you need to see Kevin Kelly at West Coast Marine, located at 1555 Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check them out and their inventory and information online at westcoastmarine.com.
This is Chelsea from Dana Landing in Mission Bay. We are truly the one-stop shop for a great day on the water. Looking for a fishing charter? Dana Landing has you covered with the Blackjack, perfect up to 4 anglers, or the Impulse, up to 6 anglers in comfort and style. Dana Landing has a huge tackle shop with everything you need to go fish bay bass, tuna, or marlin, and our staff will dial you in. We even have Mexican and California fishing licenses and reel repair. Our deli at Dana Landing is a local's favorite with all the food, ice, and beverages you need. Hey, need freshwater tackle? Head to East County Bait and Tackle, the ultimate in rods and reels, the latest freshwater lures and live bait. ECBT has a staff second to none when it comes to sharing their passion for fishing. ECBT is at the end of the 67 Freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. And Dana Landing is next to the Dana Launch Ramp in Mission Bay. Check out danalanding.com for more details.
Take a ride and be amazed. That's exactly what you had the chance to do when the Seakeeper demo boat made its Southern California tour. You had your chance to experience just how smooth the ride can be. By eliminating boat roll, Seakeeper transforms everyone's experience on the water. You go from sick to smiling, and memories turn from never again to best trip ever. The Seakeeper boat is now up the coast at the Southern California Boat Show at the Cabrillo Way Marina in San Pedro this weekend. This is your chance to check out the Seakeeper 3, optimized to eliminate up to 95% of boat roll on boats between 30 and 39 feet. Even better, you'll see this gyro is so small it can fit inside a customized leaning post. To check out the Seakeeper demo boat, come out to the Southern California Boat Show at the Cabrillo Way Marina in San Pedro, the heart of Los Angeles Harbor. Go to the Seakeeper website, seakeeper.com, and check out the Seakeeper. Seakeeper.com. Take a ride. Be amazed.
He's not just my fishing buddy. After 30 years, he's a brother, and I'd sure hate to lose him. His bass boat's got nothing to do with it. So I make sure both of us wear a life jacket. Save the ones you love, even if they don't own a fancy boat. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Are you feeling that itch to get out on the water? Come fishing on the American Angler and reacquaint yourself with some familiar faces and make new friends. Captain owners Brian Kiyohara and Sam Patella take pride in every aspect of the American Angler operation, from their loyal and trusted crew to the sashimi-grade fresh fish you'll take home. It's easy to find a vacation that fits your schedule. We have everything from day and a half to 10-day trips and longer. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. We want you to become a part of the American Angler family.
XEPRS 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
San Diego's sports leader.
The home of ESPN Radio.
The Mighty 1090.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. We were talking about it during the break. You hungry? Because I know I am anytime I see this guy's name pop up on the screen. And that's our buddy Yanni from Fisherman's Belly is on the line right now. What's up, Yanni?
What's cooking, Yanni?
Oh, my God. Hey, that's a pretty good intro there, Rick. Oh my God! And Jim, what in the world are you doing? How come you're not out fishing, Jim?
Hey, back off, Yanni. It's hard enough for us to get him away for 2 hours. You don't got to convince him to get back out there.
Life is getting in the way.
Oh my God! Well, it's great to hear you guys this morning. Listen, my new recipe is something that's really, really exciting. It's something that I've always wanted to do, but I don't have the opportunities to do it. And what I'm talking about is actually grilling a whole small yellowtail. Now, every once in a while, we go out fishing for yellowtail, and we end up catching these small ones, you know. Catch and release is always a great idea, especially with the smaller ones between 5 and 10 pounds. But every once in a while, you're going to take home a 7 or 8 or a 9 pounder.
Sure.
And it happened to us when I was fishing with Pete Gray a couple of weeks back. I caught this small yellowtail in La Jolla, and we all just stared at it, and everyone looked at it and said, you know, what the heck can we do with that? And I said, hey.
I know exactly what I can do with that.
Let's grill it whole. So my new recipe is grill whole small yellowtail, and it goes through the basics of how to grill a whole fish, from prepping it, preparing the inside of the gut, the head, cutting your slits, preparing the skin, absolutely no salt on the skin. Watch the video and you'll learn why. And putting it on your grill and not having it stick on your grill and putting it on your platter and basting it and how important basting is. So there's a lot of basics to grilling a whole fish in this new recipe. If you guys have a chance, check it out. And for you mobile users out there, check out my YouTube channel. And it's called Fisherman's Belly Channel. And that way you'll get alerts on your mobile phone, and you'll never miss a recipe when I come up with a new one. And this one is a really good one.
Yanni, is that fish stuffed with anything, or is he empty in the belly there?
You know what? That's a great question, and it is stuffed. My garden, I've got mint, I've got oregano, and I've got rosemary, and I cut them from my garden and put them right inside that gut cavity, along with a lime that I cut right in half. And then, here's a really cool thing. I sewed the gut cavity together with toothpicks because what happens is it not only does it prevent all that stuff from coming out, but it actually locks in the steam and it helps cook the inside of the fish and it perfumes the meat with all those fresh herbs. Believe me, it is just an insane way of cooking a whole fish.
My stomach's growling.
Yeah, what a great call, too, like you say, with their – I mean, it's certainly not something that you want to load the boat full of, but, I mean, let's face it, every one of us has been
on
kelps this year, and, you know, you're fishing for a big one. You snag one of those small guys, a perfect thing to grill up for dinner. That's a great call, Yanni. What a good timed recipe.
Wow, well, thanks. And, you know, the basics of cooking whole grilled fish, you know, I urge fishermen to start eating whole fish, you know, instead of, you know, just grabbing the fillets and only ending up with 50% of the fish. And believe me, the fish is full of nutrients that we need. Omega-3s, collagen, everything is in that whole fish, especially in that head. So start learning how to cook a whole fish. Believe me, it's really well worth it.
Yeah, up in those collars, that real oily meat's right up in there.
Good call.
Yeah, and it's full of nutrients. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, great one. No, I was just, again, one more time, shoot us the website if we want to scope out the great stuff and the YouTube channel. You do such a great job producing these videos, too. It's very fun. And the thing about all your recipes is they're easy. And if you're a guy like myself that can be kind of lame in the kitchen, it sure is nice to be able to follow along with a recipe that's not super difficult but still impressive looking at the end.
And tasty. I know. I really work hard in trying to keep everything simple because I always keep in mind my friends who, you know, have a hard time boiling an egg. So I gear my recipes for those people.
That's awesome, Yanni. And where do we find him?
Oh, by the way, thank you very much. Fisherman'sBelly.com on the homepage. I always list my new recipes right on that homepage. So just Fisherman'sBelly.com. Or our YouTube channel, which I've really put a lot of work into, and it's just a vast library of recipes. And that is Fisherman's Belly Channel. Right on YouTube, just go in the search bar and type in Fisherman's Belly Channel.
Awesome.
And please subscribe.
Yeah, good call. Yanni, great job. We appreciate it. A fantastic recipe. And yeah, I look forward to I don't know how you're going to top yourself again, but look forward to watching you try.
Yanni, are you ready to be our cook again for the Battle of the Bays next year?
Absolutely, Jim. I certainly am.
And are you going to come up with any lobster recipes this season for us?
Oh, there you go. That's a good idea.
Jim, I'm telling you, thank you so much for asking. As a matter of fact, I am strategizing the whole lobster season, and I'm really looking forward to doing a lot of really neat lobster recipes, including lobster breakfast recipes, because I find myself catching lobster at night, coming home, not being able to sleep, and wanting to eat lobster first thing in the morning. So I'm going to come up with some lobster breakfast.
I like it. You know, people that haven't been on your website before, too, will know that it's once you jump on Fisherman's Belly, there's a whole list of tabs that you can find right on the top of the website, and lobster, crab, and squid are definitely one of them. So you just pop right on there. If you got your limit of bugs from last night and you're wanting some fun ways to go about it, right now there's a lot of very cool recipes for lobster on fishermansbelly.com.
Awesome. It's like you guys are the best. Well, thank you so much. Have a great day. Enjoy listening to your show.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, Yanni. We'll look forward to talking to you real soon. Thanks a lot for that. Let's jump back into the phones. They're packed. We're going to talk to Tom. Caught us from San Diego this morning. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Morning, Ricky.
Hey, Tom.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Jim, thank you very much for the seminar at Turner's in San Marcos. I learned a lot. We took it out last night and tried it. If there is one good thing about the ramp closure, I'm not saying it's a good thing, but it sure made hooping in the bay easy last night. There wasn't the traffic that there usually is.
I believe I heard you could walk from buoy to buoy in Mission Bay last night, and it sounds like there's a little more room to spread out in San Diego, huh, Tom?
Oh, there was. I mean, we made four or five different drops in different places, and we were all alone. They kept looking around saying, what's wrong? You know, do we have the wrong day?
That's too funny.
That's a good bit of news.
And did we have some success?
Yes, we did.
Nice. Right on, Tom. Yep. Well, good going. So we're grilling lobsters tonight.
That's for sure.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate the report, Tom. Glad you guys had such success.
Yeah. All right, thank you, guys.
All right,
thank you, Tom, for the
call. Thanks a lot for the phone call very much. All right, another very patient caller, Steve, who's calling us from Costa Mesa this morning. Hi, Steve, welcome to the show. Yo, Steve.
Steve, are you there?
Yeah.
There you go. Good morning, Steve.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
It's all right, go ahead. You were on hold for a long time. You're going to get a free pass.
All right. Yeah, I was just sanding the rubber rail down the boat. But anyway, I'm curious. What do you guys think about the water temperature? Do you think that's going to affect it like it has the last couple of years on the El Nino?
You know, we're hoping it gets back to normal. You know, the diver friends of mine are saying that it's looking more like a normal year, the way the lobsters are spread out. Our water temperatures were a little more normal this year. It's starting to cool off. I'm hoping that they'll be in shallow, and then they'll get in deep, and then they'll be in shallow again. It'll be a fun year in the shallow waters.
Yeah, I sure hope so, because fishing at 200 feet of water wasn't much fun.
You know, with an ace line hauler and that new bulldog on there and that new high torque motor on there, that rope just coils itself right up. I don't find it a problem at all.
Gets up on the boat, you can have a margarita before it gets up there.
Exactly.
I'm with Steve. I like the ones where when you're pulling up on it, you look down, you can already see your bridle float, you know, down there because you're in that shallow water, and it's two lifts and she's in the boat. That's
two lifts and it's hitting your feet.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
That's my kind of fish too.
I'm with you, Steve. Well, let's hope we get back to it, and we appreciate the phone call very much. And don't forget, you're in the running for that killer $80 accessory pack from Promar. Steve, we appreciate the phone call.
All right, thanks.
Thanks,
guys.
Buddy.
Have a good one.
You too. Thanks a lot for that. Good luck standing in that boat. How about next up, we talk to Rob. He's calling us from La Jolla this morning. Hi, Rob. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Rob.
I was wondering, first of all, have they changed the amount or how many you can get as far as lobster goes on your quantity?
Same old rule, 7 in possession. Unless you have a multi-day permit, then you can be in possession of 21 lobsters.
And that is, with a multi-day permit, though, one needs to spend, you know, X amount of time on the water. You know, it has to be proved, that kind of thing. You can't just get one and go get a bunch of extra lobsters. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
And now with that, too, Rob, you know, with the number of lobsters one is able to take, that was one of the things, Jim, you touched on a little bit in the beginning of the show that was really set to be, you know, shrunk down for the recreational guys, and you know, with CCA, yourself, Al, you know, really fought hard on behalf of us as recreational anglers to keep that 7 lobsters a thing.
They did want to give us a annual number, and it went anywhere from 25 up to 70, and according to the Ecos and the commercial guys, it was going to be around 30 or something like that.
But as of right now, it's still 7 lobsters per nightly limit, and there's no annual limit on take as of thus far.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Although, you know, if a warden sees comes up on you and he sees that you've got 10 consecutive nights of limits, he may take a picture of your report card
sure.
and start a lightweight investigation.
Yep, that's a good call. You know, one thing, too, that I think we should mention, and Brandon brought it up a little bit yesterday, and that's the importance of having your lobster card filled out while you're on the water. You know, that when you're in a location with gear in the water and you come up on, you are supposed to have made the notation already that you're fishing on the actual day that you're on, the type of gear that you're using, the location that your gear is in. You definitely want to... You don't want to fill your lobster card out at the end of the night, because if you're checked on the water, the law states that thing needs to be filled out.
Well, two things you want to do. You want to have that thing filled out before you go out with the date, the month, the day, the type of gear, and the location. And if you're in two different locations, which you can be, because some of these are pretty small, you're going to need to do two lines. And as Brandon said yesterday, if you stay out past midnight, you need to fill out a second line for that second day that you're actually out there. And everybody on the boat needs a lobster gauge, so you should have extras on the boat. And your go ID on your gear.
Yep, good call. Hey, Rob, appreciate the phone call very much, buddy. Good luck on this lobster season. Next up, let's talk to Craig. He's calling us from Menifee this morning. Hi, Craig. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How you doing, Jim? How you doing, Rick?
Hi, Craig.
My question is, do you ever use weights on your nets when the current is ripping or you're going down deep in order to keep your nets on the bottom? Because some of them are kind of light and they just kind of, I notice they slide, you know, especially like when it gets to a sandy area and it slides into the rock or just to keep it in place. Do you ever weigh down your nets?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. We have a competitor that came out with a net last year that looks very much, it's actually a copy of our Ambush XL. And they made a very, very heavy net. I mean, it's really heavy. It's like 10 or 12 pounds, just the net alone.
Wow.
And I like to have a saying that we've started this year at Promar. You can make a net heavier, but you can't make a net lighter. So if you're hooping in 10, 15, 20 feet of water, you're probably not going to want any weights on that net, and you're going to want one of our Promar Ambush nets. But if you're doing deeper water, or if you're in the bay and there's a lot of water movement, or you're hooping on the edge of a canyon, there a lot of times you're not aware of how much current there is down on the bottom. So it's a good idea at those times to put extra weight on your net. Jim over at Leadmasters has the hoop net heavies that are 1 pound weights you can add on there. You can go to Home Depot and find out the circumference of your net and just zip tie some galvanized chain around the outside. You could add lead weights to it. There's a lot of different ways to go.
Good call. Hey, Craig, appreciate the phone call very much. Thanks a lot for that. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out what two lucky guys have got themselves Promar kits. You got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mighty 1090.
If you've been searching for that perfect inshore and offshore boat, Defiance is the one. Go far and stay dry is the Defiance slogan. And that is exactly what you get in these overbuilt, trailerable offshore boats. Inland Boat Center has the Defiance you are looking for in stock, ready to fish. A huge 2.5-acre indoor showroom. And over 300 new and pre-owned boats for everyone. Family-owned and operated. Their customer service is the finest available. They take trades of all types and offer amazing financing deals. Check out Inland Boat Center's inventory of Defiance Pilot House boats online, including the Admiral 22 and the San Juan 25. Solid construction with no wood to ever rot. Defiance boats are built to last. It is the peak of the season, and the Defiance boat deals have never been better. Along with great financing, you could be fishing next week in your new boat for much less than you ever thought possible. Inland Boat Center, 681 East Jacinto in Paris. Check the website for the current inventory and more at inlandboatcenter.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar of the long-range fishing experience. A spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
For East Cape fishing, Gen Ren is known as the best. This is Mark Rayer. Great service, top quality equipment, including all accurate reels, CalStar rods, and Cibran electronics, has put my immaculately maintained twin-engine cruisers in a class of their own. For memories of a lifetime, just bring your hat and sunglasses, and we'll provide a fishing experience that will exceed your expectations. Our calendar's filling fast, so don't miss out. For packages, two live webcams, a weekly fishery report, and more, check out TeamGenRen.com. We pick up at all East Cape resorts, so let's go fishing.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. I want to say congratulations to the big winners. The full Promar accessory kit going to Bruce in Simi Valley and Mike in Chula Vista. Guys, congratulations. Nobody makes better lobster gear than the pros at Promar. And Jim, 2 hours just flies by every time you're on here. Cannot begin to thank you enough, not only, one, for spending your couple hours with us, talking us all into dialing ourselves in for hoop netting, but just everything else you've done, keeping the regs the way they are, all your work with CCA. We just want to, man, one more time, thank you so much for all the great stuff you do for us fishermen.
Thank you, guys. Go to www.promarnets, and also please join CCA, Coastal Conservation Association of California. It's a very important organization, you guys. Thank you so much.
Couldn't agree more. Great job, Jim. We appreciate it and look forward to seminars throughout the year. Look forward to seeing your next one. And we look forward to having you on next week. We got another couple of great shows for you. Saturday, Captain Benny Florentino from Coastal Charter is going to be joining us. And then Sunday, Captain Fred Huber from the Daily Double. Another couple of great shows coming your way in the Mighty 1090. You stay tuned. The CS Keys Show is next right here on the Mighty 1090.